Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. The Word of God says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Father, teach us from your word today, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be talking about moms and kids. Funny thing about being a mother. You aren't a mother if you don't have kids. True statement, isn't it? There are some moms who are moms by adoption. Either they have chosen to adopt children or children have adopted them as moms. I've seen that happen many times as well. But mothers have a very important place in the life of the family. A mom has a great influence upon her children. And a mom is able to direct her children in ways that other people cannot have any kind of way of doing. And this morning I want to just look at five things that's important for us to consider as we train up a child in the way he should go. First of all, we need to understand that everything we do for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." That includes raising our children. That we're to do that for the glory of God. I've entitled this message, "Designing Children for God's Glory." Designing children for God's glory. The first thing that I would suggest that needs to be done and considered as we are training up a child in the way he should go is that we need to dedicate them to the Lord. We need to dedicate them to the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 1, we have a story of a mom. Well, she's not a mom yet, a lady who's hurting. We have the story of Hannah. Hannah and her husband, Elkanah, had gone with his other wife and her children up to Jerusalem. And Hannah did not have any children. She hurt in her heart because of not having children. And she made it a point during this visit that she prayed to God earnestly that he would give her a son. Look with me in verse 20. It says that after the time that they were able to pray and the time came about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked him of the Lord." God answered his prayer. And the men, Elkanah and his house, went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up and said to her husband, "I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever." And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, "Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou hast weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word." So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks, one ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the Lord was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, "O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, shall he be lent to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. She had prayed. God had answered that prayer. She had a boy. She named Samuel because I asked him of the Lord. He's now grown up. He doesn't need mom for nourishment anymore. And she said, at that point, I will give him to the Lord. The word Lent in verse 28 says that she is giving him up in prayer to the Lord. She was giving her son to God for him to use as God would choose. As parents, we need to dedicate our children to the Lord. We need to be willing to give them up to God, to allow God to use them for what He wants. And many times it's easy for us to say, yes, that's a good thing to do. But we need to consider what the consequences of that are and what the results could be, because God desires for us to seek Him, even in the things of our family. A dedication of a child to the Lord is not necessarily a formal ceremony that's done at church. It's a heart attitude of the parent to say, I want my son, I want my daughter to be used of God the way that He would choose. And Lord, I am giving my child to You to use as You will. We don't know what's going to come about with a child that's very young like that. But God wants to know that our hearts are there, that we understand that this child is a gift from Him, and that we're giving that child back to Him. It's also a decision in our heart that we're going to do what we need to do, and we're going to see some of the things that are that we're responsible for here shortly, that we're going to do what we can to instill in them the principles of God's Word, to teach them what God desires of them so that they can know the route they need to go. First thing to do is to dedicate them to the Lord. Secondly, we have a responsibility to disciple them. To disciple them. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Allow me to read that verse for you this morning. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Bible says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nurturing is the whole training and education of a child. The admonition is admonishing them in the things that God says. We are responsible to train our children and to bring them up to be what God wants them to be. We are responsible to help them to understand what God is doing in their lives, to be able to work with them. We have to teach them. How do we teach children, especially as young as some are, what God wants? Well, first of all, it starts at home. It starts at home. Deuteronomy chapter 6 gives a good description of how we're to go about doing that. That we're to do it at all times. Deuteronomy 6, beginning at verse 4, the Bible says, Hear, O Lord, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in your heart. And you will teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house, and on the gates. You're going to be able to teach the principles of God's Word at all times as you're living. At home. Everything you're doing, you're showing how God makes it possible. You sit down to a meal. What is your practice? Does everybody just start grabbing the food off the table and eating it as fast as they can? Our practice is, as people get around the table, we stop and we thank God for his provision. That's important. Do you realize that that simple act of gratitude toward God, which you should have in your own heart, is also teaching something to your children? I was in the Dominican Republic this week, working on a missions project with the missionaries from Baptist Home Missions. And there were two little boys there, Anthony and Patrick. They are bundles of energy. They are boys who are all boy. There's no other way to describe it. They were ready to go from the minute they got up in the morning until they dropped into bed at night. And we sat down to meals. And one time, Patrick, and Patrick is only 18 months, not quite 2 years. I pray. Now, does a child that young fully understand all that's going on with prayer? No, I really don't think so. But his parents are teaching him by example, and then they allow him to pray, to thank the Lord for the meal. I wasn't so sure what language he was speaking in. Didn't understand all the words he said, but they were heartfelt. You could tell that. It was, "Dear Lord," that was understandable. And then his words, "Amen." That's teaching. One thing I noticed about the boys, they get up, mom and dad sit at the dining room table to have their personal devotions in the morning. And they sit down and they're reading the scriptures. Those boys did not bother mom and dad during that time. They give them fits other times, but they left mom and dad alone while they were reading the Word of God. They had been taught to respect that time so that mom and dad could have their time before God. The boys are seeing mom and dad and the importance of spending time with God and his word. Was there a structured lesson that had been laid out there? No. They were teaching by example. But they were discipling them in that respect. These boys don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior yet, but they're learning important lessons. I remember as our girls came to a place and they realized they needed to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, they would say things and repeat things that they had heard us talking about. They weren't specifically, "All right, you need to memorize these different things." They were just things that they had learned along the way. The way you live your life at home is a discipling process that you can use to raise your children for God. When you're out doing those projects around the house, and dad, you miss that nail as you're bringing the hammer down, and you hit your thumbnail instead, what is the reaction that your kids see? What words do they hear come out of your mouth? Do you realize that you're teaching and discipling in that process? We need to be sure that we are careful at home that we're showing them what's important. You're showing them the importance of teaching them the importance of being in church. Sunday morning, you come to Sunday school in the morning service. You come back Sunday night. You're there on Wednesday night. Why is that? Well, you come because you know it's the right thing to do before God. And you want to have a life that's pleasing to God. You want to be in fellowship with God's people. You want to learn from God's word. But do you realize that your faithfulness in attending church is also part of discipling your kids for the glory of God? Because they see your example. That was one thing our girls never questioned. There's something going on at church. Are we going or aren't we going? Something's going on at church. What time do we need to be ready to go? They understood that we were going. They were being discipled. And I thank God that today our girls are faithful in church. And part of that is because I believe they were taught along the way. The way we live our lives teaches them. We disciple them through direct teaching as well. When we sit down with the Word of God and we help them to understand what the Word of God is saying to them, we help them to understand that this Bible story has something to teach us, and we teach it to them. We help our kids understand, what are the Bible stories? Do you know how many children go up today and don't even know the stories that are in this book anymore? Used to be, you could say, I'm talking about King David. And everybody knew it was David in the Old Testament. You could talk about, you remember David when he fought Goliath? And that for us, we don't need to hear the whole story. All of a sudden, we have in our mind what's going on. Do you realize how many children don't know the story of David and Goliath? Even in our Christian homes? Because we don't teach them. We need to teach on purpose what the Word of God has to say so that our kids learn what God is saying, they know how to apply it in their lives, and they're able to see what's going on. We teach them by having them participate with us. When we're doing something at church, we ought to get our kids involved with us. It's not a separate thing that, all right, I'm going to serve, kids, you stay home. Your day will come sometime. Get them started now. Get them started now. Because the more you work with them, the more they begin to understand. It's all part of a discipling process. The third thing that I would bring to your mind that we need to do is to discipline them. It is to discipline them. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15. Proverbs chapter 29, and verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. The rod is the instrument of punishment. The reproof is other means of correction. It is important for us to understand that God wants us to discipline our children. We also need to note that the rod, as we read through the book of Proverbs, is used, and the only descriptions I see are when there is open, outright rebellion. We don't need to spank our children for every little thing they do wrong. It's that open rebellion that needs to be dealt with. There were certain things our girls understood that if they did, yes, that was the consequence. One, if they were given a direct command and they looked at us and said, no. Ooh. That's when you have to apply the Board of Education to the seat of learning. When they lied to us. That was a rod situation. But most of the discipline was helping them to understand consequences that come because of what happens. Because there are consequences in life that we have to live with. Kids are going to be kids. Things are going to happen. Discipline has at its root the word disciple, which is a teaching process. And so the discipline that we have ought to be a teaching process. The kids make a mess in their room. Well, they ought to know better than that. Why? I dare say that if I looked on your desk or your workshop or whatever part of the room where you spend time, you make a mess too, don't you? That's not a time when they need to have the rod. That's where they need instruction and, if necessary, reproof. The consequence of making a mess is you clean it up. You don't do it for them. You make them do it. Our family served in Brazil as missionaries for 15 years. And there are a lot of things that are involved with the ministry there and a lot of things involved with just plain living. And you could spend 90% of your time just living if you're not careful. And that was a period of time when we were able to get someone to help us at home, to be able to do some of the cleaning and some of the cooking so that we were freed up to do the work of the ministry. And it was a great help to us. Well, our girls knew how to take our house help and use them to their advantage. And they would make a mess in their room, and they would go and get Chia Maria and say, "Chia, you need to clean this up." And we caught them doing that one day. And I went and I said, "Chia Maria, you are not to ever do that again. They are to clean their own messes up." And she smiled. She liked that. And you know what? She helped them understand that too. Because there were times that she would take them to their mess and say, "You need to clean this up." That's discipline. That's teaching them to do the right things. Discipline can be something as simple as you're going to bed. You're going to get your sleep. You realize that if you learn to go to bed at the same time and get up at the same time every day, that your life has more of a routine and you are more productive than if you have different times all the time? We need to teach that to our kids. That's discipline. Discipline isn't beating them. Discipline is teaching them. And the methods of teaching differ from child to child. We had one daughter that if we just looked at her, her heart was broken, and she knew that she had done wrong, and we were able to handle things very easily that way. And that doesn't mean she didn't ever get a spanking, because she did when she needed it, because she sometimes found that she could make things work her way sometimes. Kids are good that way. We had another daughter who Mama told her, "I need you to pick up your toys." No. Got the spanking. Had the correction. "Now, let's pick up your toys." No. 18 times before she finally said, "Okay." Discipline takes perseverance. And sometimes you have to work with them to get them to understand. You know, after that episode, my wife said, "I can't remember another time we had to spank her." Why? She'd learned a lesson. Discipline helps them understand and to learn. And if you start when they're young, when they get older, you're not going to have trouble. We had people ask us, teenage girls, "Oh, you must have had all kinds of headaches." No. I can't remember any problems in the teen years. Yeah, we had this or that, but it wasn't a big deal. I think it's because someone taught us that we need to discipline them young, and it makes a difference. We dedicate them to the Lord. We disciple them. We discipline them. And then we direct them. We direct them. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go." The understanding there is to understand the child for who he is, what his personality is, what his abilities are, to be able to work in a way where that child is able to prosper because somebody is teaching him the way he should go. There are some kids that will not, never, ever be a book lover. Do you know anybody that way? I see some of you, me. They need to learn how to read. They need to know the importance of books, and they need to be held responsible to do reading, but they're not going to be the kind that are going to study and study and study and go on and get their bachelor's and their master's and their doctorate and teach other people and always be in the books and learning that way. That's just not their bent. But some have an ability in other areas, and we need to direct them in that way. And as we're directing them in the abilities that God has given to our children, we are directing them to look at the things that God would have for them. In the world today, we have more than 3.5 billion people who've never heard of Jesus Christ. And God said that we're to go to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, that everyone should have that opportunity. But the number of people who are willing to go is declining more and more as the years go by. There are many reasons for that. But I could tell you one of the main reasons we don't see more young people willing to give their lives to go into the ministry and to serve God in a full-time capacity is because mom and dad are not directing them. Mom and dad are showing them what they think is a better way. To give you some examples. One time my wife and I were in a meeting up in Jackson, Michigan. And there was a young lady who came up to me after the service and said, "I think God wants me to be a missionary." And I was telling her that for her to be used of God in that capacity, she needed to be sure that she was doing what she ought to at home and studying well in school and preparing herself to be used of God in that way. That's all the further I had gone. And the mother came up with a smile on her face and said, "I heard what my daughter said. But I could tell you, she's going to live here in Jackson all her life because she's going to stay here to take care of her mom." That girl never went to the mission field. You see, mom had directed her in a direction. I have heard young people say, "I know that God wants to use me, and I think it would be a great thing to go as a missionary, but mom and dad think it would be better for me to get my degree, and I could be an engineer or a doctor," or they named several high-paying professions. They said, "Then I could support missionaries as they go, and it would be better that way." You know, a lot of times mom and dad is simply looking at, "I want my kids to have what I never had an opportunity to have." And I'm going to tell you, if that's the purpose, God can't bless it. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to go in those professions. And it may be that you have a child that has a bent in that direction. Direct them that way if that's what you know God wants them to do and that child is being led of God in that direction. What I'm saying is don't direct them away from the ministry if that's where God is leading them. We need to direct them because God has a plan for each one of their lives. And we need to teach them how they can seek God's will and not seek mom and dad's will to accomplish what we want, but to seek what God wants. And sometimes that means that there's going to be some separation. And we don't like that. That's part of the reason we want to help guide them in a certain way. When my wife and I told my parents that we were going to Brazil as missionaries, they were visiting us in South Carolina on a weekend trip. You know, the rest of the weekend they were there, it was quiet. Didn't have much to say. And they went back home, and we didn't hear from Mom and Dad for 6 months. We didn't hear anything. I take that back. Dad did call one time to tell me that a friend of mine had passed away that I didn't know about. But he was just passing information. That was it. I didn't know what was wrong. I mean, from the time I was in junior high school, I'd been saying, we're looking to go to the mission field. I'm planning to be a missionary. I talked about missions. That's everything I was looking at. And when I told him we're going to the mission field, things got quiet. So I didn't understand. At the end of that six-month period is when something happened that opened the door for me to see what was going on. Mom had to have surgery. She was in the hospital. And her pastor brought one of the missionaries that happened to be at their church for missions conference with him on the visitation at the hospital and introduced my mom and said, and her son is going to Brazil as a missionary. And Mom said, and I don't know why. Why would God take my son and send him so far away from me? The missionary looked at her and said, you know, he's better off halfway around the world in the will of God than next door to you out of the will of God. And God used that to change their hearts and to open up that they would want us to go. Mom and Dad, are you directing your kids away from what God wants them to do? Simply because it's not what you want them to do? It's only going to bring you heartache. We need to direct them to do the thing that God is leading them to do. And in doing that, we'll be able to see God bless in a great way. And then the last thing, we need to detach them. Just to keep D's all the way through. It comes to the point when they grow up, it's time to move out. Usually that process is through marriage. But there comes a point where they need to move on and live their lives. And we need to let them go and not hold back and interfere in their lives. We also need to be willing to help them out the door with a little pushing if necessary. Because sometimes they want to hang on a little too long. But there comes that time when we have that separation. It's not normal for mom and dad and child to live together their whole lives unless there's some physical reason that needs to be. But that's not the normal process. We need to be willing to help them as they go, to encourage them, to pray for them. Are they going to make all the right decisions? Well, it might be right in their eyes. It might not be right in my eyes. But you know what? They've become adults, and it's time for me to let go. Mom and Dad let go of me, and they watch me make my mistakes, and I got to watch mine make their own mistakes. We learn from that. We grow from that. If they ask advice, I'll give advice. But I have to be careful not to say, and this is what you have to do. Even though I know that's what they have to do. And those of you who have adult children understand what I'm saying. We got to let them go. Because that's the way that God plans. Train up a child in the way he should go, When he's old, he'll not depart from it. That is not a guarantee that if you train up your children in the things of God, that they will be godly all their lives. God does not give that kind of promise. What he's saying is, if you guide them by the proper discipline and discipleship and direction, that their lives are going to go the right way as long as that child is willing to follow in God's way. But it comes from your faithfulness. And Mom, in a lot of those areas, you have more influence than Dad does many times because you have more time with them. Dad is responsible, yes. Scripture makes that very clear. And I'm not saying that dads can step away and leave it all to Mom, because that's wrong. What I'm saying is, Mom, you have an important place in the formation of your children. And I want to challenge you and encourage you today to do that job the way that God said to do it, so that we can bring our children up for the glory of God and see the things that God will do, because God is faithful and we can trust him, knowing that he will help us do the job that needs to be done. Father, I pray that you would help us today to be the parents that we ought to be the mothers that we ought to be, and that you would help us to serve you as we raise our families for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.